Okay, let's get the proceedings underway. And before I do, I want to welcome a man to whom this country and certainly this group owes a great deal. Ron Gostick, who has supplied Canada with freedom of speech material and underground literature, which nobody else touched in the past. For 30 years, I've known that man, and I think we ought to give him a really good hand today. Sound like a Jewish meeting, huh? Everybody. next thing is going to happen, some guy is going to come up and sell me an Israel bond. I want you to understand that I lived in Montreal when I first heard that Ron Gostick would accept visitors, and I drove all the way from Montreal to Fletcher, the Ontario, and on the way back, my little Volkswagen conked out and cost me about $400, $1961, you know. So that's why I remember him so well. I also remember the books that I got through the Canadian Intelligence Service, which is Mr. Gostick's publication, amongst others. And the very first book that I read was Pawns in the Game, that I bought from you. And it was a very important book because he hated Germans and Jews equally, you know. So he made it easy for me to slide in, you know. No, but seriously, I think that the thousands who understand the issues today in Canada would not understand them if it hadn't been for the dogged, determined, and courageous work of Ron Gostick. And although we might have had differences as they always arise over the years, there is a hero, an unlikely hero with his white hair. But I will tell you that this is what a hero looks today, and I'm very proud to know you, sir. The other person that I would like to thank is Paul Fromm, who is also here today. You know that Paul is a little more mild in attacking some of the issues, but he certainly is tackling the immigration issue and hate the cops issue here in Toronto. And I think that also is an area that needs to be addressed. And we say in German, getrennt marschieren gemeinsam schlagen, which means we march separately, but we beat them in unity. And I think that is what the lesson is of this day. While we are on an upbeat note, I want to give you some good news. March the 13th, this coming March the 13th, get this, an 82-year-old Jew is going on trial at the College Street Courthouse for making harassing phone calls. Let me see here. I'll read you the charge. One Eugene Lawrence that made during the months of October, November, and December 88 in the Metropolitan of Toronto, District of York, unlawfully did with intent to harass one Ernst Zündel, make or cause to be made repeated telephone calls to the said Ernst Zündel contrary to the criminal code. That's one charge. And the other one to the same guy is willfully obstruct, interrupt, or interfere with the lawful use, enjoyment, or operation of property by making numerous repeated phone calls to Samizdat Publishers Limited, 206 Carl Street, thereby interfering with the operation of Samizdat Publishers contrary to the criminal code. Now, that guy is going to get convicted. Guaranteed. Because the police arrested him. He had put his quarter in the phone. And they had staked out a whole shopping mall. Can you imagine? That took 12 policemen that morning. They had staked out every payphone in that mall because that's where this bastard kept making hundreds of calls from, you know? And as he put the coin in, they knew who he was because they had video filmed him on a previous occasion. It was a really extensive police operation. He puts the quarter in, grabs the receiver, and the policeman, pow, grabs the receiver right from him and said, Mr. Zündel, is that you? This is PC, arresting officer. Where is he?
McIntyre.
No, it was a good Scottish name anyway. he said, you will enjoy a peaceful Christmas. That was on December the 23rd, and we've got your man. Now, they got half the man, because the one guy that kept making threats to us of the most horrible kind and received some, Barbara Kulaska, the lady lawyer, received some, they're all pornographic, filthy, these people, you know. That guy is still on the loose, because the man who is still making his threats is about 40 years old. This man is 82 years old. Now, he is going to get convicted, I'm sure. He won't get much punishment, but he's a real estate agent. And so help me God, I'm going to nail that guy to the cross, because he made life a sheer misery for us in our work by making up to 300 and 400 calls a day. Every 4 seconds we got a phone call. So I just want you to know that they think they can get away with it. This one guy keeps saying, I'm too smart for you, you'll never catch me. Well, that happens to be the third guy that has been caught, and two of them already have been convicted.
What did they get in the sentence?
Well, they get a little tap on the wrist and have to do community work and so on. But nevertheless, the fact that a Jew is going to be convicted because he makes calls to Ernst Sindel is certainly something, and it shows that the Toronto cops are tops. You know?
That's why Peterson doesn't like them.
Right, that's why he doesn't like him. Okay, so that's that. One victory. You know that Doug Christie is in Israel.
Yeah.
And you also know that I made a last-minute appeal for funds for this, because the government said adamantly, I have the letters upstairs, that they were not going to protect him. And that they were going to leave that to Israel, and there was no problem and so on. But then when I mailed our thing out, an audio mailed her appeal out, we got such terrific pressure on Ottawa, and the day before they left, they finally relented and they said they were going to make sure that they were okay. Now, I have a call from Israel a few minutes ago, before the meeting started, from Eugen. Remember Chubby Eugen? Eugen went along. So Eugen is going to talk to us just for a minute from Israel to give you a status report. Everything is fine there, so that's good news.
How can it be?
Bad news, huh? Because two witnesses chickened out, apparently. When they saw that it was Doug Christie who was going to cross-examine them, they suddenly got ill. So they're coming back. They're coming back earlier than we thought. But Heinz Koppe also went along as bodyguard. He was a boxing champion, as you know, in Canada and also in Germany. And unfortunately, Anne just took a phone call before we came down here. Gabi, remember Gabi? She was stabbed and is in quite bad shape. And they found her with a knife, I think, still in the sticking out.
No, it was when they don't know how long it is that she was stabbed before two girlfriends found her. Police will say very little about it because they're investigating. They always leave the knife in so that they don't bleed to death, but she took an epileptic fit going in and attacked, and the knife came out. She can't talk yet to her.
Okay. So here's, so that you heard the story. She is stable, in stable condition, but So this is Ernst Sindel's last 24 hours, you know. We've got this mission in Israel, and it's the first telephone contact that we had, because we decided that they should not call here in case anything gets traced and that they know where the bodyguards came from, you know. But so Heinz is safe in enemy territory, and his own daughter is not safe in Vancouver. So I call the wife and say everything is good. And my latest message from Israel, everything is okay. And she said, well, it might be everything okay in Israel, but certainly not here in Canada. You know? So
Ernst, we know by whom she got stabbed?
Nobody does know anything yet. That's the story from Israel is, as Eugen will tell us now, and then we'll get on to the...
Yeah, Doug's going to meet, have Yoram Schefter here for supper in a few minutes.
I see.
Now, Yoram Schefter is the Demjanjuk lawyer, and when the fellows went over there, I suggested that they should try to get in touch with this Jew who is defending Demjanjuk. He's the one who got the acid thrown in the face. Because if the other side knows that Christie is interested in the Demjanjuk case, I think psychologically we know how paranoid those people can get, you know? That this might be very good for them. Give a few people a few sleepless nights.
Okay, now look, Eugen, really seriously, quickly, how did it go inside the courtroom?
Okay, no problem. None of the witnesses have really been any good so far.
No?
And some of them chickened out.
Some of them chickened out?
Two of them got sick, apparently.
Before or after Doug spoke to them?
Before already.
Oh, before already. Anybody check into hospital after?
No, not
we had a rumor here that people checked into the hospital.
No, just two got sick and they canceled ours.
I see.
I don't know, maybe they checked in after Doug finished with them. Who knows?
But you had no reports like that?
No, and there's just one more to go really now, and then we're out of here.
Did you get any pictures? Did you get to Jerusalem, Wailing Wall, anything?
Yeah, we've been all over there the last 2 days, because we had Friday and Saturday and today off. So we were down Jerusalem, Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee, every holy place in the Holy Land. We've been there.
And Yad Vashem?
Yeah, we were there. There's not too much to see there, actually.
Did you take any films?
Yeah, we took some film and some pictures.
Did you go to the library of anti-Semitic publications or something?
Find that.
You didn't find that, eh?
I looked around. There's no mention of it in any of the tourist things. Nobody knew about it. I looked in the phone book and everywhere.
Right. Well, okay, now, look, with your ticket, if you're going to have to come back earlier than the ticket is,
yeah.
Your ticket was calculated on a 14-day stay there.
Yeah, well, I just rebook or whatever.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I just spoke to Harry Schneider, who booked it. He's going to look everything up tomorrow. So if you find that you have to leave earlier, give me a quick call, because after tomorrow I know exactly what the arrangements can be, you know. Otherwise, the ticket reverts back to a standard ticket, which will be something like $2,600.
I wanted you to hear that so you have an idea where the money is going, you know. A few days difference, and bingo, you know, double the ticket, $2,600 just for the ticket, $155 US for the hotel room. So things ain't exactly cheap in the war crimes fighting issue. But the good thing is that the judge declared a publication ban, and media is not allowed in, spectators are not allowed in, so it's really only the attorneys, the prosecutor, the Israeli officials there, Israeli police, and Eugen has been able to film every single word that was uttered in the courtroom. So we have a chance of listening to it ourselves. You see, we were afraid that the Crown gets the tapes, and then the tapes may be doctored. So they have already got 35 hours of interrogation over there. So that's from the Israeli front. We are hoping, of course, that they come back safely. Then the next trip is going to be to Hungary. And I am as worried, maybe even more worried, about him going to Hungary as I was about him going to Israel. Because if anything is going to be done to Doug Christie, it seemed to me less likely in Israel, because the heat would then come on them, and you know, the eyes of the world, and certainly here in Canada and America, would have focused on him. But in Hungary, they'll just say, oh, one of these excitable Hungarians ate one paprikash too many, and that is it, you see. So I think we are not through yet. Doug has to go there on the 25th of March. So we are certainly hoping that everything will go well. Now, you know that David Irving is coming, and David Irving is coming on the 5th of March to Toronto. But before that, he's going to go already to San Francisco. Well, he starts in Los Angeles, where he's addressing the IHR convention. Then he goes to San Francisco, where he speaks at the International House on Berkeley campus, guaranteed to raise the roof over there. Then he's going to speak in Victoria, Vancouver, Kelowna, Calgary, Regina, Winnipeg, Hamilton, Toronto, Ottawa, Fredericton. So that's a pretty good tour. And we have posters here, and we have... if you could ask your friendly delicatessen, or put it in the laundromat or the supermarket or pensioners' places and so on. So that yellow thing, you can all get these here from Paul Norris, who just came in. Paul officially is in charge of the organizing of this stuff. And Paul's phone number is on here, or you can reach Paul through us here. And then we have these little slips here, which we should, again, take to the delicatessen store or leave them pinned up somewhere. In schools, churches, anywhere. We have to promote this thing. The reason for it, why I'm so anxious that we do the most for this man. He has come off the fence with the Zündel trial. And I think that we should send a signal to all other historians and academics that it's not economic suicide when people finally decide to tell all the truth, the total truth, all that they know. You see? And not only half the truth, because they're afraid that somebody is going to pull the plug on them. And so David Irving has made the step. When he was in Toronto for the trial, his agent negotiated a pocketbook deal with some pocketbook publisher in the United States for the Goebbels book, I think it was. was worth over $300,000 US. And he said, if the New York Times carries my testimony today, I can kiss that money goodbye. And since this time, I have seen articles as far away as the South African Observer condemning David Irving for giving, calling him a self-taught historical writer. You know, so they are on his case. And so we have to take up the slack. I have every confidence that we can do it. As you see, the list is impressive. All the people that have that are doing work there have helped. Mr. Gostick has helped. Paul has helped. I see no reason why we couldn't make a really good success of this particular thing. And I think it's important, and we should give it all we have got. Now, for the Germans in the audience, I have made an arrangement with David Irving to give a speech in German. He speaks beautiful German. Hardly a grammatical error in it. It's just, and it's high German, beautiful German. I have one tape of him where he spoke in Southwest Africa. And so I've asked him to do a talk in Hamilton in German so that we get a German language video. Because David Irving has said in the English-speaking world things which would liberate the soul of the Germans if they could hear it in German. And all of us here are bilingual. We know how difficult it is to translate or put subtitles on videos and so on. And so I think that's a real coup. So if you want to go on the 5th to the Donausschwaben Club to hear him in English, I encourage you to go. But all of you who speak German, and even those of you who don't speak German, just for a moral support idea, the address is through Jürgen. You can get the tickets through Jürgen. The address is the Germania Club in Hamilton. We should really crowd that hall too, so that he gets a real enthusiastic audience, that we get a super duper video, and that then we can make a real breakthrough in Germany. Because David Irving has never ever been heard in all the years he spoke in Germany the way he speaks here to English speaking people. And I think that would be a terrific coup. Okay? No, have I?
Did yes, you see that article in the German press? In the
yes, I did.
Professor?
Yes,
I did. That was quite good. I was very surprised.
Yeah, so that's very nice. I think it's a good idea that the ethnic media finally is helping. It's on the 5th. Everything, after the meeting is over, come on up here. Everybody can take a few stacks of these, like 30 or 40. You can all take the yellow ones, because I think that's really effective. Go to your friendly grocery store, anything. You know, every little bit helps. Good. So we covered this. And the meeting in Ottawa, anybody in the Ottawa area, Inge Beisler is here. She can fill you in on where that is. We have got some fantastic tour arranged for that man. And keeping our fingers crossed, touching wood, we should be okay. All right, now as to Fred Leuchter. He is not going to come today.
Oh, my God.
That's right. But we have him on video. He was here yesterday. I was with Jürgen in the store in Hamilton and got an urgent call from Paul Norris saying that we had a fax here. There's an emergency. His son had faxed a letter to us. There was an emergency. There was an explosion in his lab. He has a lab workshop in his house, and there was a fire. The son smelled something around 1 o'clock, and then when he started to investigate, he discovered there was fire already on the rafters. There had been an explosion, apparently. His face was burned. The mother said, two layers of skin. Mr. Leuchter said, it's a son from a previous marriage, from Ms. Leuchter. She seemed to indicate was more terrible than he did. I think it's basically that the mother was really worried to get back home, because when they went to Auschwitz for us, her other son got killed in the United States. So when they were in Majdanek for us, here is the son killed, and I had to track them down through the American embassy, Polish embassy, and finally they found them in the fields in Majdanek, taking videos and soil samples, you know. And I give them credit, they stayed and finished the mission. But this time they went home yesterday. So I rushed up to the airport, sent up a video team there. We made a very quick interview because he was really pressed for time to get out. And then what we'll do is we'll show you what he would have shown and discussed. Anyhow, his findings in Auschwitz, in Majdanek, and so on. Now, final thing. We don't know if it's foul play or not. I don't want you to jump to conclusions. But certainly, he said that he had no flammable liquids in his on his workbench where the fire started. And it's certainly mighty strange. A fire just doesn't start like that. But that's the story on Leuchter. tickets for the Irving meetings are not printed yet, but if you want to, I've got a yellow pad here, mark your name down and everything else, and you can kind of pre-purchase some tickets. And now the final announcement of the day is this, and then we'll hear Fred Leuchter run a thing. I'll give you all a little slip like that. Jürgen, who has been with us for many years and done sterling service, has decided to branch out on his own, and he has opened a video and book store in Hamilton, Ontario, where he lived most of his life. And so if you want to take a drive there on a Saturday or something, I think it's a good idea. Also, just like we support Irving and like you support me, that we support Jürgen. Go and see what he has. He's got these beautiful old German flags and the old Union Jack and all kinds of interesting flags on display. He has interesting videos, he has books and so on. He is not banned from anything. So Jürgen has got stuff in German, stuff in English, everything.
Not banned yet.
Not banned yet, he says. So and we certainly wish Jürgen lots of luck with this particular endeavor. If you have any friends outside of Toronto, in other towns and so on, and you want to send them to the Irving meetings in these different towns, pick up one of those here when you come out to the front, okay? And the schedule is on there, and the contact person. So, Jürgen, can we do the Leuchter thing now? So, we're going to show you the video now that Fred Leuchter would have commented on and so on.
Mission impossible. I can see that it seems that you better bring your children along in the future. Anytime that you go somewhere, what happened?
Don't know fully at this point. All I know is that about 1 o'clock, Stephen smelled smoke. He went downstairs into the basement. The smoke was coming from the area of my workbench. Went over to the workbench. There was a small explosion on the workbench that threw him about 10 feet away from it and burned his face. And at that point, he filled the tea kettle up 8 times, poured water on that and on the ceiling by throwing it up against the rafters and put the fire up. At that point, he called us and sent you
facts.
So,
I understand he burnt his face also?
Yes, he apparently burnt his face. He had some small amount of blistering. I don't think it was anything serious.
Have you any idea of what could have started it?
I have no idea, and it was in an area where there were no flammables at all. So I told Stephen to lock the cellar and not let anyone down there light get there. And at that point, I'll do a forensic examination and make a determination of what did cause it, if that's possible.
Yes, but since we're going to have these people tomorrow, closer to me.
Okay.
Yeah, since we have these people tomorrow, I'm not going to cancel it because so many of them come from so many different areas.
Yes.
So what I'm going to play them, what we're going to do here tonight, at least another 2 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'm going to show them the tape that you might have shown.
Okay.
And then what we'll do is we'll post them a reappearance for you sometime in the future. I had wanted to discuss with you details about the lecturing and so on, but without the music, I'll type it out and I send it to the program. Okay? It's really quite straightforward. Just so we have you on record, you're going to California.
That's correct.
By the end of this month.
Yes.
And you're going to give your lecture over there.
I am.
What you saw when you went over to Poland.
What
you didn't see.
What we saw and what we didn't see and what the trip and the report all means.
Right. Now, have you had any bad flak since you came back? Any threats?
Nothing at all. We've had a few strange phone calls where people called up and they weren't fresh. They simply said they didn't understand how we could come to that decision after seeing it. And both people in question hadn't been there and they had never seen it themselves. And we received one copy of a report that was torn up. It came from some school library here in Canada, but the name of the school was removed. And it was sent back with the word garbage written along over the face of it. That's all we've had. So I don't know why we haven't heard more. We've had some people calling. We've had half a dozen people calling to thank you for doing it. and telling me that they liked it. So by far we've had more friendly calls than even raising questions.
There's been no major problems. No problem out of the engineering community either?
No. Nobody has said word one about it. That's surprising. But as I say, at that point, we haven't heard any.
And nobody has done claims that they're going to go and make an engineering study of their own or anything like this. No indication that another engineer is to be sent there to check whether you were a good engineer or a bad engineer?
Not as far as I know.
Nothing. And nothing from Jewish newspapers, no interviews?
Nope.
Well, I just read something from the South African Jewish Observer, and where they mentioned the report in some detail, and they certainly seem to take it seriously.
So good. I hope the entire world takes it seriously.
And you know about the various countries, for instance, that the Chinese from Red China have requested two English language original copies from some kind of a historical commission. And there's an Arab translation in the works. I don't know if you've heard of that. A Russian translation. The Hungarians and the Poles apparently are circulating in their underground in Eastern Europe.
I would hope the next thing to happen on this would be that the Polish government would be concerned and would set up some kind of a commission, perhaps through the United Nations or perhaps through some of the other countries that were involved in the World War II, and bring myself and some other engineers back and do a complete study. So this thing can be cleared up once and for all, and the world will be able to see at that point that there were, in fact, no gas chambers in Poland.
Killing people.
Killing people.
No, I know that the plane is, well, we got maybe another minute or two, and then we'll have to let you go. Any idea when you might return to Canada?
Not at this point, but I certainly hope it's going to be soon. As you know, Carol and I came up, we were celebrating our anniversary 1 week late, and our anniversary dinner was being cooked when we went down and saw the maitre d' on the way out, and said, "We're sorry, Wolf, but we'll have to catch it later." We told them what happened. So.
Everybody pretty friendly, pretty understanding?
Yes.
Very good. Well, I know that you have to board the plane, and I appreciate your time for these few minutes.
Okay.
We're going to show that to our friends tomorrow, so they won't be too disappointed.
I would like to apologize to all those people that are going to be there tomorrow night, and personally tell them that I'm sorry, but because of this problem, and I'm sure they can understand why I'm going home, to try to sort out what did in fact happen. But if they'll give me a rain check, I will speak to them at a later date, and I hope that date very soon. And I thank them very much for their patience and their indulgence, and to say that I will be back and I will speak to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Our old friend Theodor Rudolph used to stand on each entrance and wait and see if it was okay to film for a few minutes, and then as soon as somebody approached, they would go on to something else.
We didn't get any samples out of the Maidanek chamber because the guard house was right next door, and you heard all the banging that takes place when you
yeah.
They heard it immediately, so I couldn't
now,
take
Fred Leuchter was going to, he usually charges $150 US for his time, and when he flies somewhere, it's $125. And when I said to him, well, we couldn't afford his trip up plus this, he said no. He would take and waive his fee and give it to the bodyguarding of Doug Christie. So I'm going to let the helmet go around, and all the money we'd have collected for Leuchter goes to this financing of the bodyguards for Doug Christie. And while we do that and pass this through, he asked me to present Jürgen.
Yeah. We had
lots of bribes with pantyhose and lipstick and chewing gum. Oh yes, all that. Yeah. Now can I show you? I want to make a little presentation for Jürgen here. Fred Leuchter actually had wanted to do that today, and there were five people that were in the team going to Auschwitz. So Fred Leuchter, while he was in Toronto,
had this T-shirt made. And it says, I survived the Auschwitz hotel, and on the back it says, Auschwitz 5. So there you go, as the Jews would say, muscle and wear it in your health. Very good. Oh yeah, while the helmet is going around, you remember our friend Frank Wallus, who was on trial, a German Pole, also for war crimes, and Wallus was exonerated thanks to the Chancellor of West Germany, who behind the scenes helped and found the documentation that he indeed was innocent. And so Wallace, of course, is going back and forth in helping Demjanjuk, John Demjanjuk, trying to get documents. And for my trial, he tried to find documents. And so the link between Sündel and Wallace is well known. And since Sündel is not very likely to go to Auschwitz now or ever, except riding on the back of a German tank, the Poles grabbed him at the airport and gave him the third degree from the Ministry of Justice and from the Polish War Crimes Commission, berated him to never again, my slogan, to never again allow any of Zündel's friends into Poland to desecrate these national monuments. And Frank Wallus called me, poor man, was really upset on the telephone. And he said, Ernst, in future, my God, always check with me before you go to Poland. Imagine. So they leaned on him, and he was supposed to lean on me. I don't intend to go back to Poland or send Leuchter back to Poland. I think with this issue here and with this film and the documentation and his report, the issue is settled. You see, that's all it took. Can you imagine that? A small handful of people could have ended all that nonsense 40 years ago. And I will forever blame my own Germans for not doing it. Because they invented the bloody Cyclone B stuff. They knew how it worked. Enough soldiers worked with it during the war. Every sailor that was ever in a ship knew how it worked. And I cannot understand why a bunch of them didn't get together, even like we did, secretly, to go there and do this. And so, the Leuchter report, which is down here, I am banned from selling it to you. You see, I can't distribute it. The document that is the most important thing that came out of my trial. So there, the Ontario Free Speech League is selling it in Canada here, and there are others. There are pirate editions. Every second or third week, I get news from yet one more Leuchter report in a different form and shape. There was one in Edmonton being handed out to a church service remembering the victims of the Holocaust, where the Edmonton chief of the Jewish community was present. And what did the man do? Handed out by these pirate editions of the Leuchter Report. And it said in the Edmonton Journal, prepared by Ernst Sündel. So that could be dicey for me, you see. So you can purchase it. You are free. You are not gagged. I can sell it to you. And the meeting today was only possible because on the advice of three lawyers, I can talk to my friends in my own house in a private meeting. I couldn't do it in a public meeting. So this is what this is. You are my friends. You were all personally invited to a personal meeting in my house. So this is not a public meeting. Otherwise, I'll go to jail for 2 years. Good. I thank you very much. And that's the end of the proceedings. Come on up front and we'll take down your names for the Irving meetings and pass out the various slips and everything. There's some coffee over there. There's some Apfelstrudel. I think what we might do is move some of the chairs so we can circulate. Thank you very much.